You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the Game, yeah, Building the Game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today's Monday. It's December 12th. It's 2016. It's episode 237. That's enough of that. I'm
hello,
Rob.
Hello.
That's Jason. Jason, can I talk to you briefly about an epidemic that is sweeping our nation? Well, at least the part of our nation that I've seen, that I've observed over the past week.
I'm a little nervous, but sure.
So, people, it's December now. The holiday season. The time of year when people decorate their homes.
Yeah.
This year, people are sticking little laser projectors in their front yards and pointing them at their houses to project a bunch of little red and green dots on the front of their house.
There's two in my neighborhood.
There's five in your neighborhood.
Oh, are there? Oh!
Yes. Yes. And by the time I leave, there might be seven. I don't know.
Well, there's also, you know, the landing zone down at the end of my neighborhood.
Well, there's that too. That's an entirely different story. Like, I've already given up on the inflatables epidemic.
I need to get a picture of that to post on the show.
You should,
because
yeah.
People just wouldn't believe
it's
how big it is.
Amazing.
The guy comes out and dresses as Santa, and I told my son, well, Santa will come there sometime. We can go visit him. And he's like, why does Santa come there? I said, dude, because he can probably see it from the North Pole.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair. It's not that far away.
Right. He just goes up on his roof and looks off in the distance and squints.
What's that?
There it is. Yeah, those stupid laser projector things. Like, okay, hey, I think they're cool. I think they're cool. But if you want to decorate your house, decorate your house. Don't spend $12 at Lowe's and stick a thing in your front yard and say, look how festive I am.
It's literally one of the laziest ways to decorate
your
house.
It's so lazy. It's so lazy and so generic. Like, my dad bought a couple of those, like, 2 years ago because he thought they were cool. And he stuck them in the ground in his backyard and pointed them up at the trees. And he has them there all year round. But they don't move. They just project a bunch of little green dots all over the trees. And when the trees move in the wind, it's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's neat. And it's a cool thing to sit on the back porch in the summer and at night in the summer and look at the tree. Yeah, it's neat, right?
I can't believe people in your dad's neighborhood haven't complained about that.
I'm amazed as well. but he did, because he thought they were cool, right? But now they've been, and maybe they were always meant to be a Christmas decoration and he just didn't realize that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him for Halloween too.
Okay, yeah.
There were some spooky ones for Halloween.
Yeah, but lazy. Lazy, come on, people. Lazy. It upsets me.
I understand.
It upsets me.
You know what will make you less upset?
What's that?
Bourbon Barrel Cola.
Ooh.
Still got these last two from my buddy Bruce. Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
We get to finish our collection here of the...
caps on the... You need to take a picture of this for the show notes.
Yeah, I'm going to take a picture.
A lot of pictures for the show notes today. Should we do the label of the cola in there as well?
Probably a good idea, yeah.
Yeah. So people know the
there
authentic.
Yes.
Okay, builders, you heard it. You heard it. Now go to the buildingthegamepodcast.com to see it. Aw, yeah.
Aw, yeah. So can I talk about the Millennium Falcon for a minute?
Go ahead.
So not this one that's sitting in front of us, but that did make me think of it. So we were watching Return of the Jedi recently. There was like a marathon on TV or something over Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. And we're watching it, and I noticed something I'd never noticed before.
What'd you notice?
So I did notice that in The Force Awakens, that it has the square satellite dish, right?
We talked about that on the show.
But I didn't realize why.
Okay.
It totally gets knocked off when they're escaping the Death Star at the end.
Yeah.
I never noticed that. I mean, I just didn't pay attention.
It gets knocked off in A New Hope, too, doesn't it?
I'm not sure.
I think it gets knocked off in A New Hope, too. But I could be wrong.
But it was just... funny, because the last time you see it, that gets knocked off. First time, it's different shaped. So that was really smart of them. Because at first, I was like, "What is it? Like an upgrade? Like why did they switch it out?"
It's just continuity. It's continuity.
Something else about Star Wars, Rob. Uh-oh. Since we're talking about Star Wars,
might as well.
So this is about the Clone Wars cartoon show.
Yeah. I've heard it's good.
It is solid, right? It's not just for kids for sure. Like my son loves it and we watch it together, but like so many times I'm like working on game stuff and I'm just stopping and I'm just staring at it because I'm like, this is actually interesting. Something I didn't realize before that is interesting to me. So R2 is Anakin's droid during the whole series, at least from what I've seen.
Okay.
And C-3PO is owned by Padme. Or at least he's with her all the time. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He's her droid.
Yeah.
I mean, technically Anakin built him, whatever, doesn't matter. But so here's what was really interesting to me.
Okay.
Mace Windu, first of all, on the show, total jerk.
Mm.
Total jerk. Don't even like that guy.
Okay.
He keeps complaining to Anakin because of his crappy old droid.
Mm.
Right? And I realized something. Like, R2, I never thought about the fact that, like, R2 is an old droid. Even in the new, even in the, during the Clone Wars, so because he's like 20 years old at that point, more maybe.
Yeah,
like,
he'd already been in service of the Republic
right.
at some point, right?
And he was like shiny and new at the beginning of the Republic, right?
Yeah.
But what was so interesting to me was he's like, these R7 droids are so much better. Like, I didn't realize, I mean, I'm sure that this was like a, what do they say, retroactive fix or whatever. There's a word for that.
Retcon?
Retcon, that's the word, thank you. I'm sure it is a retcon, but like,
mm-hmm.
so basically they're saying like, well, no, like R9s are like the newest model.
Mm.
So, and of course, R2-D2 ends up saving the day because he's freaking R2-D2,
right?
Because
he's
R2-D2, right?
Because he's the true hero of the Star Wars saga.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping at some point I get to see him lose his jets on the side. Because he uses the jets in Clone Wars all the time.
Does he? Okay.
And that's I think of how sad R2-D2 must be.
To not have his
to
jets
not
anymore.
Have the jets, right?
Once he yeah. gets to A New Hope, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that Rebels is pretty good too.
Yeah, yeah, we're excited to watch that. They do a really good job with the clones in the Clone Wars.
Okay. Good.
Like humanizing them so they're not literally just like that same Jango Fett dude over and over again. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
But it's cool cuz they all have different like tattoos and
Tamara Morrison I think is the actress.
Tamara Morrison was the actor, yeah. They all had like tattoos and stuff to identify themselves, and they give themselves nicknames.
Right on.
Rather than like CT, like CT 555, 5555 is fives.
TK421.
Yeah.
Why aren't you at your post?
I don't think that's actually one. I think that's from another movie, Rob.
TK421, do you copy? I'm done. So,
anyways,
I'm done.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm just, it's been cool watching it. I can't wait to watch Rebels too, because. I already know some things that are coming to that. Mm-hmm. So, what's so exciting, I think, is with the addition of the new movies that they're making, like Rogue One and such, it gives us a chance to put characters in those movies, like live action versions of characters from the Clone Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool, right?
Yeah.
That you actually get to,
Yeah, we'll see what they do.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm looking forward to Rogue One. I'll see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'll totally see it.
Good. It looks good.
I think I watched the first trailer that came out, and I was like, yeah, that looks neat, and I haven't watched anything since.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I know that they've said that, well, I shouldn't say spoilers in case anybody's being real careful to stay away from stuff, but they've revealed a few things in the trailers, and I haven't seen the trailers, but...
Right.
Jerk-offs in the media put the spoilers into the news headlines, and so if you're scrolling through the internet,
right.
you can't help but see that crap.
Well, okay. The one spoiler, I say in quotations, come on. You had to know that was coming, and it's in, like, every freaking advertisement.
Yeah, and I'll bleep this, but you mean...
Yeah.
Well, of course. Of course. I mean, duh, he's gonna be in that, right? But the one I was a little disappointed about was...
Yeah, they because they were trying to be tricky about that,
right.
like, and not be obvious, and then right. the media was like, I don't know, I was like, is in Star Wars.
Right, so yeah. that'll all be bleeped, just yeah. in case, because we care about you builders, and we don't want to spoil it for you.
So...
Yeah. Meanwhile, if I'm going to bleep... No, never mind. I was going to make a bleep joke, but...
Was one of the things about Star Wars, explain this to me, Rob, why are weird titles such a big thing in Star Wars?
Weird titles.
Yes.
Explain more, please.
They're really big into like so one of the new guys is director so and so and like commandant, and like they all have these weird titles mm-hmm. that they Grand Moff and Moff. Like Moff is a thing. It's not just like Grand Moff.
Mm-hmm.
Moff is a thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's to kind of reinforce the authoritative nature and of the Empire and the chain of command and a bureaucratic, you know, in a huge bureaucracy, everybody has some grand title, and the next guy above him needs an even more grand title.
Right.
And they have to keep escalating all the way up to the top of the chain.
Well, like
right?
Grander Moff Tarkin is, right. And his dad.
So. Mega Grando.
Right. So, but here's one spoiler about the, not, this is just like a spoiler alert. It's not actually spoiler alert, but some information you should know about the rebels and the resistance.
The
word
idiots.
General, they're just giving that out like candy. Like when they, in the resistance, okay. In the Force Awakens, when they're like General Leia, I want to be like, that don't mean crap. In Clone Wars, everyone's a general.
Everyone's a general.
Like R2-D2. It's like General R2-D2. General C-3PO. I mean, I'm making that up, but every Jedi, I believe, is a general.
It's like producer credits in movies.
Like it's just, General Kenobi, General Skywalker.
Yeah.
Give that General Kit Fisto. You know what I mean? It's so random.
General girl who dances at Jabba's palace, whatever her name is.
Ula. Right?
Ula. Okay, Ula, there it is. Yeah.
General Ula. There are some Twi'leks, Jedi's. Well, so yeah. But anyways, it's funny to me. Uh-huh. So that makes me think that I don't know what Admiral Akbar did.
Whoa!
But he did something really good. Hey, unless it's like a Navy thing, and that's why he's Admiral. I don't know. But
I don't know.
I feel
never...
like it might just be alliteration.
We've talked about Star Wars too much already.
Anyways, these are things I ponder, Rob. These are things I ponder. I have a topic we can talk about.
Well, no, it's my turn to bring a topic.
It's your turn to bring. You have a topic we can talk about.
I do. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about a couple of games I played.
Oh.
Because my topic's going to be real short. So
I don't know that it'll be short.
I think it'll be short.
We can talk about it a lot.
Yeah. So I played some games, Jason.
Yes.
I played Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Oh, you finally played that game. How did it live up to the hype?
I really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But I could see how it could be really awful and
based on the
super
scenario
crappy.
You get and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for the builders, if you don't know the game, it's a game that was recommended to us a long time ago. I think actually by AJ.
AJ. Oh yeah.
Originally.
Yeah. Favorite game ever, he says.
So it has one of those changeover moments in it. So the first half of the game is the players are all exploring some kind of dark, scary mansion, and as you play the game, you move characters through basically rooms of a haunted mansion, for lack of a better definition.
All right.
And as you move through a new doorway, you flip over a tile and reveal that room, and that room then is going to have an icon on it, and that icon will either be a special item, or an event happens, or it'll be an omen. And every time an omen is revealed, you have to roll a bunch of dice. And there's some pressure lock in it or some escalating stuff to it. But at some point, there's going to be a thing where you roll poorly and the haunt happens.
Right.
And then based on how that haunt triggered, you look up that special room and
it's
card
like a whole
combo.
Book, right?
Yeah, yeah. You look it up in a book to see what triggers and what happens. And there's actually two different books. There's one book to give the players new instructions, and then potentially, at least in the scenario we played, one player triggered the haunt, then had to go look at the haunt book or whatever it was called,
mm-hmm.
and they were now the bad guy. And so we were all then working towards competing goals.
Okay.
Okay. To try and win. We played a 6-player game.
Hence Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Right, so, yeah.
Okay.
We played a 6-player game. And there were opportunities for actually multiple players to turn bad in the scenario that we did.
Okay.
We won. I think 6 players, that's a pretty, maybe depending on the haunt, is maybe a pretty easy mode way to play.
Okay.
You know, because that's a lot of opportunity for people to do well.
Right.
And it came down to move your character to that room and then roll well. So it was kind of super random. You didn't have any effect on what you could do.
Okay.
So that was a random, pretty simple haunt. I understand that some of them can be really punishing and really challenging. Others, some I think are more fun than others. But I enjoyed it. It was easy to get into, easy to play, easy to learn. The whole thing we played in probably 40 minutes,
cool.
Which was a lot less time than I expected.
Yeah.
And I really dug it a lot.
Cool. So is there literally a chance the first time someone rolls that you could just biff it and the game could end?
There's a chance, but it's very unlikely.
Okay.
You'd have to basically, you roll seven dice,
mm-hmm.
and they're basically D3s.
Okay.
They're D6s, and it's two sides are blank, two sides are one, and two sides are two. So it's basically a bunch of D3s.
Okay.
Okay. You roll those, and you have to roll less than the total number of omen cards that have been revealed. So if you reveal one omen card,
you'd have to roll all blanks.
All blanks.
Okay. Still so could happen, but it could happen. Like
very unlikely.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty fun though, and like to the point where I want to go get it. Somebody gave us a gift card for our local game store, and I kind of want to go pick it up.
Yeah, I'd love to play it sometime.
I liked it very much. The other game I played was Tales of Arcana.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the game, right?
Yeah, that's RPG, that really rules-like, card-driven RPG that I got at Gen Con this year.
Yeah.
The thing that's kind of designed for sort of loose improv-y game styles, and you shuffle a bunch of decks and deal every character a bunch of cards that tell them, you know, what class and race your character is. And so we had some friends over to playtest something for me that I guess I can talk about now. I got permission to talk about it, so I'm going to have to. But so playtest that, and then we had like, you know, a couple hours before they needed to go, and they said, well, hey, you know, and the couple that had come over said, you know, what you talked about this for, can you run that for us? I was completely unprepared,
right?
But the game kind of helped me just improv a scene,
right?
And improv characters and improv challenges, and it was really fun. I mean, it was not a good session that I ran narratively,
right?
You know,
but it was fun.
But it was fun. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We had how did that go? One of the characters was what's the lion creature? I don't know.
A lion creature?
It's a lion with I don't remember what it is now.
A lion with a human body?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think is like a lion is a manticore.
Yeah, that was it. It was a manticore.
Okay.
Was it a manticore? Maybe. I think it was a manticore. Anyway, so somebody was he was a cowardly manticore, so he's a cowardly lion, which was really funny. He just randomly dealt that way. But we had a skeleton who was a germaphobe. And we had a Dunhallen, a race, a person whose head is detached from their body, and they can stick their head on their shoulders or they can just carry it separately. And I don't remember what
wasn't a Sphinx, was it?
No, I don't remember what her class was, or what her special, you know, limitation was. But it was just goofy and fun and real loose, and I had a lot of fun with it. Really enjoyed it. And so I definitely want to play it again a little more prepared. I want to run another game and be more prepared for
that,
it.
That sounds like fun, too. I would love to try that sometime.
Yeah. So, really goofy. They met a puppet in the woods, and he was out hunting, and then they murdered him for no reason.
Wow.
Because that's what players do sometimes. And then
jerky players.
Then the ultimate big bad was an ogre who had... an ogre warlock who had summoned up an army of zombies to destroy a goblin village.
Okay.
And then the goblin, and turned all the goblins into zombie goblins. And he did that because he has a sweet tooth for undead. So he summoned up an army of zombies and then ate them all. And then the players killed him. Because it was a super random session.
Right. That is narratively not good.
Yeah, it was real dumb, but we had fun.
That is weird.
Yeah,
sounds like fun though.
I think that's all that I should talk about now. Okay. I can share that other thing next week.
Sure, that sounds great.
All right,
that could be our opening banter next week.
Yeah,
it can even be game related, which will make some builders very happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so topic. So I tweeted for topics tonight and got a lot of suggestions, some real good ones. One in particular that I liked a lot was from a gentleman, you might have heard of him.
Yeah.
Ben Pinchback.
Oh, Ben Pinchback.
I think you met him once.
I've met him before, yeah.
Sure. We haven't talked about him before on the show,
no,
I don't think.
No.
Anyway, he said, give game design and industry advice to yourself 5 years ago.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tweet for other responses?
I did,
that?
And I didn't get anything else from anybody. So
what a bunch of jerks.
So no comments from anybody on Twitter. That's okay. You guys don't have to participate.
Right, jerks.
So, Jason,
you're only a jerk if you saw this and didn't respond, by the way.
What advice would you give yourself when you were getting into this 5 years ago? Has it been 5 years? Well,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this briefly earlier today and made a bunch of jokes. So,
well, but some of the jokes that I think I made, though, I feel like are true. You know, be prepared to be let down. Like, be okay with that. Be prepared to not just fail, but to really just be let down. Like, and I know that sounds like a bummer, but like, I wish I'd realized that to begin with, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So that's the most negative thing I can think to say that I can say. So that's what I'll say.
Yeah.
I have positive things too, but
sure. I would probably start with, this is going to be a lot harder than you expect.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's another good one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a lot harder than you expect, and it's going to take a lot longer than you ever imagined to get anywhere.
I think I would tell myself, just because you feel like a game is good doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally valid. Let's see. People are going to dislike your games. Some might even hate it. And that's going to hurt.
That's a fair one. That's a fair one. I'm prepping for that.
Yeah.
With my game coming out.
That's, yeah. It's going to hurt.
You know what I'd say on a positive side? I would say keep trying because you're going to be successful eventually. So, because I mean, we both are successful now. I mean, sure, we each have one game, but I mean, you know, like published and done, but I'll take that. I mean, that is more than probably 90% of people who are out there designing. So, you know, at least top 80th percentile for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there are going to be ups and downs,
right?
The ups so far, I would say are pretty cool and outweigh the downs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, if they didn't, I'd like to think we wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
I would say, make a lot of friends. It's a good community. Make a lot of friends.
I was just going to say that you're going to make a lot of friends.
Right.
And that might be the best part of this.
You might not make a lot of friends. What if you're a total tool?
Don't be a total tool. Let yourself make a lot of friends, because that's probably going to be the best part of this.
And really be prepared to listen to really hard advice from people that will make you better at what you do. Mm-hmm. So another thing that I know that I learned along the way is no design is ever wasted. You're never wasting your time when you're designing something. Because even when you're failing at designing, it's helping you realize better ways to design, and it's showing you things that don't work, which is just as important as understanding things that do work.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking that this is going to be a hobby for you, but remember that it's a serious business for a lot of other people, and you need to be respectful of that.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. So, yeah. ooh. Just because you have a really, really good marketable game doesn't mean anyone's going to publish it ever. And yeah. I'm not even saying that we do that aren't published, but that is something to remember. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen some really good games never get published.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some really not good games get published. So
don't waste your time with the offset card system. Don't do it. Give up. Just, it was a fun idea. Just move on. Move on. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That guy that said he was going to publish your game, just let him try. Just let him try. Don't try and get out of the contract. Just let him try. Yeah.
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 You know, don't be afraid to give up on something.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is one of the hardest lessons to learn, is when you feel like, oh, I gotta do this. I'm making this game, darn it. I'm making this game work. Sometimes you eventually just have to say, screw it. I don't ever want to touch this game again, and just be okay with that.
Outside of listening to people for advice on how your game works, listen to other people's advice on the business side of it. Yes.
That's real good.
That's real good. Because again, this is a hobby for you. This is a business for a lot of other people.
Who are really smart.
Who are really smart and are going to give you good advice. And you should listen to that and take it seriously. And don't just assume that, it'll be okay. It's just a hobby, right?
Right.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to take a break.
Yep. Also a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes taking a break is just what the doctor ordered.
Mm-hmm. Your computer's going to die about 4 months into this podcast thing. Save some money right now so that you can buy a new one real fast.
But that the new one you buy is also not going to work right?
Yeah. Just record at Jason's house. don't even try. Just record at Jason's house. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know he has a new baby. It's okay.
It's still going to be easier and better.
It's going to be a lot less headaches.
Yeah. I still like, don't waste your time on the offset card system.
Yeah, don't do it, Jason. Don't waste your time. That was a dumb idea.
Don't talk about Pokemon Go on the show, because all you're gonna do is get calls about it for a year.
Definitely. Drink more bourbon barrel cola. Sounds good.
Man, yes.
Super good.
Ooh.
Oh, sugar rush. Oh boy. I don't know.
The good news is I feel like that's all pretty sound advice.
I think so. Some of it's for us specifically. Some of it's for people in general. Like,
that's stupid advice. You're dumb.
Yes. Sure. You're dumb. That's good advice. Hey, you're dumb. Don't pretend that you're not.
You know, here's some advice as a podcaster that I'd give myself.
Oh, okay.
Don't bother doing contests, because the only person that's ever going to enter them is Nate.
Right. And the only person that will ever win in turn.
That's not true. We've had plenty of people enter our contest. But, you know, that is Nate. One thing I would tell myself and this is nothing against the builders, but like I would tell myself, don't expect huge responses on things. Even when you know a lot of people are listening, that doesn't mean they actually want to respond to you. So,
because people are busy. People are busy.
On that note, be very thankful for the people who do respond, because they are your friends and they are the builders.
I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I never enter contests.
Right. Yeah. Well, you hate contests in general, though.
I'm pretty anti-contest. No, I'm not anti-contest. I just don't like messing with it.
Yeah, cool.
I don't like tight deadlines. It's weird. Professionally, in my professional life, I prefer, give me a good deadline. I will work really well if you give me a clear, definite deadline. But with this stuff, I just, you know, deadlines, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. And one of the hardest things, finding people to playtest your game is hard.
Yeah, there you go. That's going to be a real challenge.
Like, I feel like, to me, that is one of the biggest limiting factors in me getting more designs out the door.
Yeah.
Is there's not enough people to playtest. And there's not enough time to get together to playtest.
Right. And there's not a good testing group in our area. We have to go up to Grand Rapids for a good group, and we just can't do that.
Right.
We just can't do that. It's not practical.
No, I mean, sometimes, but not consistently.
It's not regularly. You know, so. Right, right.
And that's the thing is, I mean, weekly I need to be playing games if I want to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know game designers who are super serious, they're testing every day.
Yeah.
Like, and we just can't do that.
Just can't do that.
And
it's not practical.
Stinks.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Hmm. I don't know. I think that's probably about all we got for now, huh?
So, builders, if you feel so inclined to enter a contest, just kidding, builders.
Wait, what?
send us messages, though. Tell us what advice you would give to yourself. And if you're a new designer, tell us what advice we just gave that you felt was important and was useful to you so that we can at least feel good about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's really what this is all about, mm-hmm. our own edification. So, yeah.
All right, pitch a game, sir.
I'm going to pitch a game for a contest. So I'm entering a contest that Jason Tagmeier's company, Button Shy, is putting on. And the reason I entered this contest mostly was because it was an interesting idea, and I thought of something to do for it. Thank Actually, you. Wasn't going to enter this contest. You were going to enter this contest.
No, I was just toying with it. I pitched an idea last week.
You were toying with an idea, and it made me think, oh, that's interesting. And then I started just thinking about what could I do with 9 cards. So that's there was other things in the contest that you could use coins and stuff, but I wanted to just use cards. So I thought,
yeah. So as of when this episode goes up, this contest has been over for a couple of weeks now,
and already announced the winners, I believe.
Oh, even. Cool. So, yeah. All right. Hopefully.
Anyways, so I was trying to think of something we could do, and I was just trying to think of something silly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's a silly thing? And I was going through some different things. What can I really do with 9 cards? And I immediately was like, well, the cards have to be double-sided because I want more options, right? Mm. And then I thought, you know, I want to do, I've not really done a social deduction game that I really, really liked. So I thought, let me try and do one of those.
Okay.
But I want it to be like a fun icebreaker social deduction game that can really get people chatting and just talking about stupid stuff. So what I came up with was the game Mustachioed.
Mustachioed.
Yes. So Mustachioed is a game with 9 cards. On one side, the face side of those, or the mustache side, as I say, there is a mustache. There are 9 unique mustaches. Hey, go figure, there's 9 cards. On the back are 10 questions each. The mustaches run horizontal across the card. The questions run vertically down the card. And there's a reason for that. I'll get to that in a minute. But each mustache also has a name. Things like the handlebar, the painter's brush, the imperial, the English, the horseshoe, one of my personal favorites, the professor. Mm-hmm. So these are all big, silly mustaches. And what's going to happen at the beginning of the game is you're going to put the cards face down. And you're going to shuffle them all around.
Okay.
And you're going to give each player one, again, face down. And then spread the rest out in the center, still face down or question side up. Player is going to pick up the card in front of them without looking at it. They're just going to reach down, pick it up by the corner, the bottom corner, and they're going to hold it up in front of their mouth. Which what that's going to do is that's going to let every other player see what mustache they are holding. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to let themselves see it, right? And then your job is, in the game, to figure out what mustache you are actually holding by name. Okay?
Yep.
So the back of the rule book will have, and I'm guessing it may even be the back and front of the rule book, like the whole thing, right, is will have the different mustaches and the name on them so that for reference, you'll know all the mustaches that are there.
Mm-hmm. You'll know your 9 choices.
Yeah, your 9 choices of mustaches. Okay. So what's going to happen is on my turn, I'm going to pull a card from the center, it'll slide it over to me, and I'm going to read one of the questions off that card. Every question is a yes-no question.
You're not
going
to pick up the card and look the mustache on it.
No.
Right.
Just going to slide it and read the question.
Okay.
And then I'm going to look, and everyone around the table will answer my question, yes or no. And the questions are designed, so the goal of this, right, is to figure out what mustache you have. So you would think the questions are designed to help you do that. But instead, the questions are not designed to help you do that. The questions are designed to be not super helpful at all.
Right.
But they're designed to be questions. Funny. Yes.
Yep.
And I think there's enough questions in there that are funny, but that could give you some insights that it might help. So when I ask you a question, you're not answering, would Jason do this?
Nope.
Or has Jason done this? You're saying, would the guy with that mustache have done said thing?
Mm-hmm.
So should I read some of the questions?
You absolutely should, because this is where the game gets really all funny. Right.
So here's some one card.
Yeah.
Do I sing in the shower? Am I bilingual? Have I ever been lost? Do I like big cities? Am I hip? Have I had a beard? Do I have kids? Am I prone to wander? Have I ever needed a hug?
Ooh.
Have I ever been speechless?
Oh my goodness.
Do I drink skim milk? Am I unemployed? Have I cried in the shower? Do I love snow? Am I likely to take a wife? Have I ever worn a cape?
Ooh.
Do I feel pretty? Am I afraid of heights? Have I ever been sailing? Have I ever been in a cave? I'll do one more card here.
Okay.
What's a good one? Oh, this is a good one.
So I'm going to be holding my mustache here.
Yep.
And then I'm going to take one of those cards and I'm going to say to everybody else around the table, do I feel pretty?
And we're going to look at you.
And you're going to say,
well, it depends on the mustache you have. Let me give you one randomly.
Okay. You shouldn't show me what it is.
Oh.
Okay. There. Is it upside down?
Yes, you do feel pretty. It's also upside down.
Okay. I do feel pretty?
You do feel pretty.
Okay.
With that mustache, you definitely feel pretty.
All right. I don't know if that helps me or not.
So you're asking these silly questions. Do I have road rage? Do I like ice cream? I mean, who freaking doesn't, right?
Uh-huh.
Have I ever cheated a game? Specifically this game.
No. Am I a lazy Sunday guy? Isn't that That's a good one.
Do I make a mean omelet? I like that one too.
Uh-huh.
Have I ever been in a fist fight? Do I dance in the rain?
Do I eat pizza for breakfast? Come on, who doesn't?
People with the mustache you have.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, I don't know what my choices are, so.
Am I good at karaoke?
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
So look at yours, by the way.
Oh, the pencil.
It's a pencil mustache.
See? Yeah, okay. That's good.
You may have not have been in a fist fight. If you were, you put your fists up like this, like the old English style, right?
Yeah, this guy definitely does not eat pizza for breakfast. The guy with the pencil mustache. Definitely not.
Yeah. So right, obviously, you may not be able to get tons of information out there, but I do think you can suss out some information based on that, right?
Sure.
because if you knew what the mustaches were, you may have been able to, I can at least eliminate this mustache, right? And remember that you see everyone else's mustaches. Uh-huh. There's only nine. So in a four-player game, you immediately know what three of them are.
Sure.
So after everyone has taken a turn asking a question, the first player reaches down and flips one over, one of the cards over that's on the table, slides it off to the side. Now everybody knows that mustache has been eliminated. Okay. I have extra information, right?
All right.
So the game will continue around like that. And then after that happens, the first player rotates to the left. When you're doing that, a player can forfeit their turn to guess which mustache they have.
Mm.
Now, when they guess, they have to immediately take the mustache and put it down in front of them as they guess, right?
Okay.
So they get to see it. And if they were wrong, they're out of the game.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you guess your mustache on your first turn?
You could, but nobody wants to play games with that guy.
Well, yeah, you have a 1 in 9 chance.
No, you don't. Right. You have better than that.
Oh, you're right. You have a 1 in 6.
Yeah, 1 in 6 chance.
If it's 4-player, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's less than 4 players, you're host.
Right.
Honestly, in a less than 4-player game, it might make sense to flip some over ahead of time. But really, because there's just 2 of you,
it's more fun.
The game's going to go fast anyways.
Yeah.
If you are the last player, so like if all the other players have guessed and they're out, you don't just win. You have to make a guess, right?
Okay.
So here's the thing. When players guess, that's really telling.
Yeah.
Because a player guesses, that tells you that you don't have that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So so you immediately have to guess. If you were wrong, everyone loses. And as it says in the rules, everyone loses for shame. Because no one was able to figure out their mustache.
No one couldn't figure out what mustache was on their own stupid face.
Right.
Hey, look in a mirror, you idiot.
Right. Also, the what was the other thing I was going to... Oh, I also did a little bit of design work to try to make it hard to tell what card was what based on the questions. So there are 45 different questions. So they're all repeated twice. And what I did was several, like 2 cards each will have the same question at the top, right? So like, do I drink skim milk is at the top of 2 different cards. And then they follow the pattern of do I, am I, have I, do I, am I, have I, down the card until they get to the bottom where then sometimes they will be doubled up. But I did that to try and make it harder for you to memorize them.
Sure.
Really what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to keep honest people honest, right?
Sure.
I don't want you to memorize it accidentally. If you really want to memorize it, you're going to, and you're no fun to play with. Nobody likes you.
Yeah, right. If you want to count cards and all that stuff, then you're not playing the right game. Sure.
Because I actually thought about leaving the cards in a stack And you just have to take the top card. But the problem is you run the risk of picking the card up and people can see what mustache is on the back.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it's just, it's got to be the way it is. But yeah. I think it's really fun.
I think it's so cute. Yeah, it's cute, you know, and silly, I mean, and fun, yeah.
It's a great icebreaker game because you're not even answering questions about yourself. Mm-hmm. You're forced to answer questions about the mustache you're
wearing. What kind of idiot would have that mustache?
Someone else, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm happy with the mustaches I chose for now.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If it was a game getting published, I could see other ones being chosen, but I tried to, you know.
Yeah, add on more mustaches.
Right, yeah. Well, this, yeah, I mean, like, if this was, say, an 18-card game,
holy
you
cow.
Could have
holy
18 cow. Different
You
mustaches.
Got six players.
So, yes. Yeah. That'd be great.
Or sell two different sets, 9 cards each. Buy two sets. Combine them together.
And then you could play up to 6 players.
Yeah.
Actually, with 2 sets, there's no reason you couldn't play 8 players.
That's
really
true. Yeah.
I mean, because you got 2 full sets. So.
That's true.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, all right.
That's great. That's
so
fun.
That's the game.
That's fun and silly. I like that.
Yeah. That's the first time I really felt like I really nailed a micro game, like where I'm like, yes, this is going to be good. Hey, we have an email.
Uh-oh.
Not an email.
What?
We have a...
What is it? Nothing. Nothing. Silence.
It is a voicemail from Edmund, England.
Ooh.
He says, hi, I'm sending you an audio message. Thanks again. You help me sometimes through times when I get stuck.
Oh.
You are inspiring and honest.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. It's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to us.
Yeah. This is an audio?
Yep. So he recorded a voicemail for us.
Excellent.
So.
Oh, probably can't call from the UK.
Well, his name is Edmund England, Rob. It doesn't mean he's from England.
Oh, I thought it was Edmund from England. Oh, no. Okay. All right.
Hi, I'm Johnny France. Doesn't mean I'm from France.
You slur your words and drop words all the time.
Well, I should not record when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I'm sending a message from Sweden. I'm a fairly new listener. I found the podcast 2 months ago, and I really love it. I have listened to all the episodes that are iTunes, which took me a lot of 1.5 speed or double speed. But I'm fascinated of your creativity and your honesty, and I must say it has helped me the times when I don't feel any inspiration in my own design work. Then instead been thinking of your different problems. And I thought last installment you had an interesting question about take that. And one thought that I had is that it could be so that there are also different social norms in the board game community. Roll a move, for example, you should not think that that's good. And maybe take that is similar but not as strong social norm, that there is a social norm that you shouldn't like that in board games. But at the same time, a very interesting thing is sports, that is also games, that take that is more of a norm. Football, ice hockey, you take the puck from the competitor and there no one complains that that should be unfair. But there are also other sports where there isn't take that, like figure skating or table tennis. So that was just some thoughts from my side. And then I would give you a challenge to think of a game. I would like a game with post office competing with the other communication systems. So sort of a historic communication system game where different companies invest in different media technologies and you don't really know, it shouldn't sort of follow history, so you know that some technology will die out and then you should try to invest in these different technologies and hope that they will sort of be prosperous. And or as in real life, that you invest in technologies that are, you know, are dying, but there's still some money in these businesses. I really would like that type of game. And thank again for a fantastic podcast. Keep up the good work.
All right, not from England, from Sweden.
So apparently it's Edward Sweden. that's
awesome, man.
Dude. Thank you for sending us this message.
For all the kind words and thanks for listening. I appreciate it. I mean, I say it at the end of every show, but thank you. I mean, we mean that. Very kind words. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've always said documentary podcast, right?
Right.
Yep. We are committed to sharing all of our feelings and everything that's going on as much as we possibly can. And we have stuck to that. And sometimes it has been difficult, I think, for both of us. Yeah. Time to time.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks. Thanks very much.
Yes. Thank you. And, that's interesting thoughts on take that, in the yeah. social norms kind of,
Yeah, absolutely. In the sports analogy is interesting as well. You know, sports is such a different thing because it's just pure physical power and physical ability, you know, and people think of that very differently from mental input, right?
Right.
You know, and building a working thing, building an engine or building a resource generation system or something in that game to score points.
Yeah, I guess there's not a sport that I can think of off the top of my head that works like a board game to where you're building something and yeah. somebody can ruin it.
Right. And with sports, it's generally go, 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 score. Start over again. Go, 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 score. Right. Start over again. Right. With those sorts of team-based competitive sports. Right. Whereas with so many of the Euros and things, it's I'm going to build all these interlocking mechanisms and maybe get a little bit of points along the way, but most of my score is going to come at the end, and that's going to be my big victory, and then it sucks when somebody steps in the middle and ruins it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. And the pitch idea is not bad, so we'll have to see if we can work it in sometime.
Did we talk about like cell phones and things at one point?
With a guest one time, and I don't remember who it was, but it was... We pitched a game about phone booths.
Phone booths, yeah.
And buying payphones, and then it crashing. And gosh, I don't remember what guest that was. It was a while back, though.
It was. It's been a while. But yeah, that's an interesting challenge.
Yeah,
we should work on that. Maybe in a few weeks we'll come back to that. That's an interesting challenge.
I'll count on you to remember that when you edit and hear that.
Yeah, right.
So, but thank you again, Edmund. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Very much appreciate you recording the message and sending it into us.
Yeah, builders, please do more of that if you guys want to. We love to hear that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that all we got then?
I think that is all we've got here.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, I think we're doing all right. So, okay. All right.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to the show. We really appreciate it, like I just said. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. You can follow us on Twitter at podcastBTG. Jason is at J.A. Slingerland, and I'm at poorly_designed. Like us in places and give us reviews on podcast places and buildinggamepodcast.com to buy our games. Jason's going to post pictures for the show notes of the Millennium Falcon with bottle caps and of the
atrocity,
the Christmas atrocity.
My kids love it.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And yeah, we'll do this again next week. So thanks again, guys. Bye bye.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
I'm looking good.
Yeah, it's a conversation we keep having about art in the new house. And like, you know, we have some art that we bought that we never hung up, and I'm excited now to find a place for it. But there's other stuff, like art that I have that I really love, but... I kind of don't want to hang it up in the new house.
Right.
You know?
It's always tough.
Yeah. Like, there's a poster that I have that I've had since I was, you know, a junior in high school, and it's framed, and I love it. But it's a different era of my life.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
There are plenty of things I had at the last house that I did not make to this house. I mean, my last house, it was all... I don't know if you've been in my basement at the last house. It was all movie posters and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I don't want to get rid of any of that stuff, but I think maybe put it away.
Right.
So,
I don't know. I still have all my movie posters in the closet over there.
Yeah.
Framed still.
Yeah, right.
Because it was the way to keep them safe.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's record a podcast.
Okay.